Good morning, Sunday School scholars, brothers and sisters, and respected guests. I'd like to start by saying what an honor it is to deliver the Sunday School address. In fact, aside from the lectures, I think it's probably the most important talk that will be given this week, and not because of the content, the important lies in the audience. That's the Sunday School scholars. Also, due to the severity of the subject, I have solicited several brothers and sisters for donations as a reward. If, and only if, you listen and participate really well, I will evenly distribute amongst y'all $100,000. I haven't counted you all, so I'm not sure how much each one will get, but I guarantee everyone will enjoy their payday. So with that out of the way, I would like to explore what responsibility is, who is responsible, as well as what we gain from it. What is personal responsibility? A simple definition of responsibility is the state or fact of being accountable or to blame for something. To me, this still did not shed a lot of light on the subject. So in order to better illustrate responsibility, I've put together a little exercise for us. I've handed out pieces of paper with a picture on the back. When you hear the noise that goes with the animal, I want you to bring me your sheet and then go sit down. Does that make sense? Everybody has the paper, can they do that? No? You're right, not everybody. I didn't want 100 sheets. All right. I would like to ask y'all a question. Who can be responsible, or what makes us responsible? Yes, sir. That's right, helping others. So, go ahead. That's right, that's another thing, being respectful. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Believing in God. So, like first noted, it just depends on the task and the person's ability. So we can all be responsible in some sense or manner. I'll ask another one. Just because Rebecca eats dinner does not make her responsible for preparing the meals. But when she finishes her food, she is responsible for throwing away her plate and other trash. Why? Because she knows that trash goes in the garbage, and second, she has the ability to complete that task which has been given to her. Thank you. Our personal responsibility to God kind of works the same way. Our loving Heavenly Father would never require something of us that we were unable to personally achieve. That does not mean at times what is required of us will not be difficult. It just means what God asks of us is attainable. In the eyes of our Father, personal responsibility begins at a young age. One of the first things we have control of and are expected to do is to obey our parents. You may ask, what does responsibility and obedience have in common? They are actually closely linked. Responsibility is the state or fact of having a duty to deal with something or having control over someone. So, responsibility is a calling to do something. And obedience is compliance with that calling. So, in order to fully accomplish our responsibilities to God, we must obey His laws. You see, though Rebecca has been tasked with the disposing of her plate, she has neither obeyed nor disobeyed until she has made the conscious decision on what she plans to do with that plate. Whether she disobeys and leaves the plate on the table, or she obeys and puts it in the trash. Obedience is like gas for a car. It is not the car. But without it, your car becomes useless, regardless of how fast, shiny it is. Without obedience, one is unable to uphold their personal responsibility. How important is obedience to God? It's so important that it's been given in the Ten Commandments. Honor or obey your mother and father. Does anyone know which command it is in the Ten? You can take a guess. 1, 5, 3. Yes, sir. Close. A little lower. Yes, ma'am. A little higher. That's right. Number 5, I know what you're thinking, 5. That's right in the middle, not the first, not the last. Must not be super important. But, did you know generally speaking, 5 is the number of grace? And speaking of grace, did you also know that honor thy father and mother is the only commandment that is followed with a blessing? Honor thy father and mother that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's a good one. Also, to stress the importance of this commandment, it is the first commandment of the ten that has to do with man's relationship with man. The ones prior to it have to do with man's relationship with God. The first 4, you shall have no other gods before me, you shall make no idols, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, keep the Sabbath day holy, honor your father and your mother. As you grow in life, whether you like it or not, personal responsibility just increases. It's part of growing up. The older, smarter, and stronger you become, the more you'll be expected to take on. Josh, would you come hang these up? Or Andy, would you come hang these up for me? Thanks, man. I may have a poor memory, but I do remember those years, one foot in adolescence while the other was testing the waters of adulthood. Even though everyone makes this transition, it is not a place to linger. James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When we take on a new role, we must commit to it 100%. And growing in the truth is no different. Thanks, sir. Now let me be clear as possible. When we are doing our best to obey God's commands, we will fall short. We will make mistakes. We will get things wrong. But the important thing is that we try. We try over and over and over. Failing is not the same as rebellion. Rebellion is knowing what we should do and intentionally not doing it. God accepts when we fall short, but what he does not accept is rebellion. 1 Samuel 15, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Proverbs 30, the eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Do y'all know what that means? I don't know either, but it sure doesn't sound good. Thank you. Thanks, sir. Up to this point, I probably have not put personal responsibility in a good light. I have made it sound like hard work, and if you don't embrace it, you're going to get in trouble and the birds are going to eat you. There's no doubt about it. There are consequences for our actions, but it's not all doom and gloom. When you follow through with the tasks that are given to you, that is personal responsibilities, we are rewarded. We are rewarded in our natural life, like when we study hard for a test and get an acceptable score, and we are rewarded in our spiritual walk as well. A example of this is left for us in Genesis. The Lord appeared unto Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt, in the land where Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in the land for a while." Hey, there's $100,000 on the line, so you got to pay attention, Maddie. For a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands and will confirm an oath I have swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. Like Abraham, Isaac was obedient to God, and in doing so, he was blessed. In the day and age we live, we walk by faith. That means long gone are the days of angels openly talking to us or having a prophet tell us what God wants us to do. Can anyone tell me where we look for instruction? Yes, Chloe. That's right. The Bible. And do you know what the Bible is?
Yes.
That's exactly right. It is a book written by a number of men inspired by the Holy Spirit on what to say. That means what is left for us is what God wanted us to hear. Isn't that cool? So even though we have no angels instructing us, we can rest assured we are doing what God wants us to do. Have you ever heard the expression, "You don't know what you don't know"? It's kind of self-explanatory, but what it's saying is you cannot understand or do something if you have no idea of the subject matter itself. This is a vital point in biblical personal responsibilities. Without listening to your daily readings, we are left guessing on what the Bible says. But once we understand what God has called us to do, we are then obligated to do it. One of the best examples left for us is in Scripture is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Sunday school scholars, at times you may feel like the Ethiopian, hearing the word of God, but not fully grasping it. It's okay to ask questions, and lots of them. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip was baptized. And Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Thank you. Upholding your personal responsibility does lead to rejoicing. Just like the Ethiopian, once he understood, he requested to be baptized. So, when is it time to be baptized? This is such a serious question that no one can truly answer it for you. There's a list of questions that allows us to gauge what you know, but even then, answers can be memorized without truly understanding the question. Age plays very little into it as well. We have seen people get baptized at 50 as well as 15. Baptism can only take place when several things come together. A willingness to submit to God and having ample knowledge of what God wants from us. Thank you, sir. So with the ducks rounded up, that concludes our little exercise. But how did this relate to teaching you about personal responsibilities? Let us look back. When you first received the paper, it probably did not make much sense. You saw a couple words on the front with a picture on the back. It was not until I explained what I wanted you to do until it made sense. So with paper in hand, you accepted the personal responsibilities which were tasked to you. At that point, you were actively listening to hear the noise associated with your picture. Though you did not know the time or order in which they would be presented, you still stayed alert. You listened and paid attention, knowing you did not want to miss your moment of opportunity. And as the talk proceeded, the calls went out. One by one, you came up and presented your paper and sat back down. This exercise is very similar in starting your journey in the truth. At first, it may not make sense, but as time goes by, the picture gets clearer and clearer until one day everything comes into focus, and the voice in your head says, baptism is the next logical thing. But unlike this exercise, no one else will hear your calling. It comes down to you willingly taking the next step. What is the next step? No one knows that question except you. The next step for some may not be the same for the next. But I can assure you, if you keep this verse near and dear in your heart, it will help you no matter where you go or what state you are in. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Anytime you may question your situation you are in, the friends you keep, the job you take, the games you play, the free time you have, keep this verse in mind. Why? Because it reminds us of the purpose that it reminds us of our purpose, that is to obey our Father, which is in heaven, and in doing so, we will have a reward that exceeds anything in this world anything this world has to offer. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Thank you for your time. And let it never be said that Jason Carroll is not a man of his word. 100 grand I promised, and 100 grand you shall get. 100 grand candy bar, that is. I will leave these bags up here. So after we get done, feel free to have some candy. The only thing that I ask is that if you get a piece, please throw away the trash. That is your personal responsibility. Do you accept it? All right. Thank you again for your time. Afterwards. Come see me afterwards.
All right, guys, what do you think? Did Jason do a good job teaching you? Nice job. I hope my class was paying attention back there too. Like I said, we're going to start off with the younger guys, the younger group. Then we got a couple people doing some surprises for us. They're doing their own little special routines. So the 4 to 6-year-olds this year were taught by Emma, Billy, and Katie. And they're doing a play on Esther the Queen. So, go ahead, 4 to 6-year-olds, I guess you can follow your teachers to the basketball court.
Here, I'll pick the crown. It's your queen.
Sit, buddy. Micah.
Sit.
No playing with the wine.
Jasper, can you stand up right here? Charles, you're going to sit right here. Check, check. King Ahasuerus is king over 127 provinces and is married to a very beautiful queen, Queen Vashti. In the third year of his reign, he is throwing a feast in Shushan the palace for all his princes and servants.
The food is really good. We want to see a beautiful queen. Go get the queen. The king needs to see you.
No.
Queen Vashti will not come. Banish Vashti. And bring me all the young ladies. I need a new queen.
The king made a decree for all wives to give honor upon their husbands. The king appointed officers to gather all of the unmarried women and bring them to the palace.
You must become Queen Esther.
I will try.
No. I want you as my queen.
The king anointed a man named Haman to be above all the princes. Haman is taking a walk out front of the palace gate where all the king's servants, including Mordecai, are.
I will kill all the Jews.
Queen, there's a plot to destroy all the Jews. Please help.
My king, there's a plot to destroy all the Jews, led by Haman.
Take Haman away. Mordecai is my new official.
That's the end.
Yay, nice job, guys. Nice job, 4 to 6 year olds. Our next performance is going to be the 7 and 9 year olds who were taught by Sister Jordan Hurst. They're going to do a skit on the armor of God. Then they're going to do a memory verse as a group, and then you'll see that they made some little billboards that hang around their neck. I think they were told to draw something that is a distraction in their life. So I know I saw a lot of drawings of iPhones. But we'll just see what they have to show us. After this, we'll have the 10 to 12 year olds taught by the Garvey sisters, Maria and Alicia. And the girls will be presenting a poster board on Esther, and the boys will be presenting a poster board on Samson. Nice job, buddy. Yeah, you can watch it up there if you can't see.
This week, we studied Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20, which talks about the armor of God. To show what we've learned, we have prepared a demonstration for everyone today. Please enjoy. Part 1. The armor bearer hands the soldier of God her belt to keep her loins girded with truth. The breastplate of righteousness is put on her to protect her chest. The sandals were prepared with the gospel of peace and helps her to protect her walk as she puts them on. The soldier God is then handed the shield of faith to protect her from the darts of the wicked. Her head needs protection as well, so she's handed the helmet of salvation. She cannot go into battle without her sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. She needs it to cut down the temptations with the word of God. Now the soldier of God has been given everything she needs to go into battle. Even though God's soldier was given all she needs to win the battle, she forgot her sandals to help her walk and her shield against temptations. Therefore, she fell into the things of the world.
We just saw what would happen if we failed to put on the whole armor of God and become his soldier. However, there is another option. Let's try putting our armor again. The belt to girt with truth. The breastplate of righteousness. Sandals prepared with the gospel of peace. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. The soldier has been given everything he needs for battle.
You made it to the kingdom.
The soldier of God has won the battle against temptations because he put on the whole armor of God and checked that he was not forgetting anything before going into the battle. The victory allowed the soldier to reach the kingdom.
Good job, guys. Okay, so that was our 7 and 9 year olds taught by Jordan, Sister Jordan Hurst. Next, we're gonna have the 10 to 12 year olds taught by Alicia and Maria Garvey.
Can I keep this?
We'll let the girls go first and they'll be presenting poster boards on Esther. Nice job, guys. Candy's coming. Alicia, are they coming up front or going out to the... All right, they're gonna come up front. Guys, 10 to 12-year-olds, come up front. I guess come to the side where it's more open. Girls, you guys are going first, right?
Yeah.
When you guys, whoever's speaking, make sure you talk into the microphone, right?
Yeah.
All right, Liam, everyone take a seat so the girls can go.
The Book of Esther.
483.
Speak a little closer to the mic, okay? We want everyone to hear what you have to say.
483, 473 BC, Susa, Persia.
Summary. Esther was a Jew and an orphan. She was adopted by her cousin, Mordecai. Esther replaced Queen Vashti. She replaced Queen Vashti because she rejected the king. Haman was King Xerxes' evil second in command. Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. This made Haman very angry, and he plotted to kill all the Jews. Esther heard about it from Mordecai. She was going to risk her life to protect her people. Esther went in front of the king and pleaded for the lives of her people. Esther stood before the king and said, "If it please the king, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces." Esther 8:5. The king granted the Jews the power to destroy the people who were planning to kill them. The Jews were victorious. In the end, Esther saved her people from destruction through courage and faith in God.
Lessons for us. Unimportant people became important when God uses them as part of his plan. God has a special plan for our lives. Esther had the courage to approach the king. If I perish, I perish. Esther chapter 4, verse 16. Even though Esther was unsure and scared, she put all her trust in the Lord. Esther was very brave. We should follow her example when in the sight of death, we should do what's good in the sight of the Lord. Even when we are scared, we should trust in the Lord that he will keep his people safe. God allows his people to be tested, but never beyond what they can take. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice job, girls.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, the boys will be up now, right? On Samson. They get a board on Samson. Where are you, boys? There you are. Remember, boys, speak into that microphone so we can hear you, okay?
Samson was in the tribe of Dan from birth. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. He was conceived by Manoah and his wife that was barren after an angel appeared to them. Genesis 13:5 reads, For lo that shall conceive, and a razor shall not come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver the Israelites out of the hand of the Philistines, and he judged for 20 years.
Yeah, I think so. Samson killed a lion with his bare hands. After he killed the lion, he ate honey from the inside of its carcass. He killed 1,000 men with a donkey's jawbone. He married a Philistine woman. Judges 14:15. And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put it forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men through with. And he came upon to his father and mother and his mother and said, I have I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. I now therefore get her for me to wife.
Delilah wanted to know Samson's secret. He lied to her twice. The first lie, he said, was that if he was tied up with new ropes, then he would lose his strength. The second was 7 green withes that hadn't been dried. Then he told the truth. No razor had come upon his head. So they cut off his 7 locks, plucked out his eyes, and took him as a sacrifice to their fake god. They tied him to the 2 pillars holding the whole altar. He prayed for his strength from God for the final time. He pulled down the pillars and killed everyone. He killed more people in his death than in his life. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than were which he slew in his life.
Nice job, guys. Is that it? Yeah, nice job. Samson definitely lived an interesting life, especially at the end, how it said he killed more people in his death than he did in his entire life. Little Chloe, are you ready for your big show? You're going to do a little piano song, right? Hymn 162, Chloe wants to play for us. Hold on, Chloe. Let me read this first little stanza. Hold on, Chloe. Hold on. Come, let us anew our journey pursue, roll round with the year, and never stand till the master appear. His adorable will let us gladly fulfill, and our talents improve, by the patience of hope and the labor of love. That's hymn 162 by Chloe. Go ahead. Where is Felicity? There you are. Felicity is going to play hymn 92. Felicity, let me just read the opening stanza. One sec. Hymn 92. Oh, blessed are the eyes that see the living way to grasp the glorious prize of everlasting day. You know that one. Nice job. It's good to see we have some organists coming up. Now, for our announcements, we got